Mix in the Dark. Hey, what's up? It's Mai Ying from Mix in the Dark. Happy beginning of the school year for students. I know it could be a little nerve-wracking for both parents and students, but either way, I hope you all are doing well. We are going to jump right in because this story is a little longer. This story is based on true events, and I do want to warn listeners that it will mention abuse, suicide, and loss of a loved one. Parents, if you are listening in and have littles around, I would take a listen to this story first to see if it's suitable for your littles to hear. If you are one of my younger listeners, I would either skip or have a parent listen first. The author advised us to hear the story through headphones and not out loud because it was difficult for them to tell. For storytelling purposes, I moved parts of the story around to areas where it would make the most sense for our listeners to follow. I am also going to use first person in the perspective of Grandma Zhuo to tell the first part of the story because it will just make it a little easier for our listeners to follow. And then the second part is told from the owner of the story, who is the grandson of Grandma Zhuo. And that's all I needed to say. Please enjoy. My name is Zhuo. I lost both of my parents at a very young age. I was around 9 or 10 during this time. Their deaths left me to become a mother to my younger sister Hua, who was barely 3 years old. We were living with our elder aunt and uncle, who did not waste time to show us that they despised us. We spent most of our days at our uncle's garden, raising their chicken and tending to their opium fields. The garden was our home. On most evenings, my sister and I would look for crabs and small fish by the nearby creek to eat for supper. I always carried my little sister because she was still very tiny. Our uncle was easier to talk to and work with, but our aunt hated us for no particular reason other than us being orphans. Once a week, our uncle would drop off 2 or 3 handfuls of rice so that we would not starve. He would pat our heads and cry, telling me to take care of Hua so that she would hurry up and grow so that we can help each other to not live like how we are currently living. I remember crying and begging my uncle to let us stay with him. I explained that we were scared to sleep alone at the garden house. I promised that my sister and I would be good kids as long as we can live with them. Nothing got through. My uncle would just say that our aunt is a madwoman and will hit us at every chance she gets. He explained that every time he tries to convince our aunt to help, she would threaten to leave and divorce. On most nights while we slept, we would hear strange sounds or animal noises coming from the creek. The sounds were very unsettling. During one of those nights, the sounds and noises from the creek woke me up. I peeked through the garden house and saw a dark shadow moving from the opium fields by the creek. I got spooked, so I quickly outed the embers of our fire so that the shadow would not come toward us. The next thing I knew, the dark shadow was already by the garden house. I could hear shuffling outside as if someone was walking past the loose straw from our garden house. I grabbed Hua and carried her to the lofted area of the house to hide. I was so scared. I remember praying under my breath for my deceased parents to come and protect us. It felt like forever, but eventually, that thing left us. Years had gone by. I was now around the age of 13. A boy from the village noticed me and thought that I looked very beautiful. It wasn't very long before I started seeing him every single day at the garden. We talked, we laughed, we flirted. Because I was an orphan and usually stuck at the garden, I made sure to engage in all conversations like they would be my last. It seemed I captured the boy's heart. My young mind didn't even have time to process what was going on when suddenly and without warning, he came to Ji, or kidnap me, to become his wife. At that moment, my sister and I weren't together. I had asked her earlier to fetch some water from the creek. They wrestled me and eventually won. I was carried away to become a wife. Without any sign or note, I left Hua all alone to be with our elder uncle and aunt. When I was officially married, I convinced myself to see the brighter side of things. I imagined that maybe marrying this boy would end my suffering. Maybe I could finally start my life. This thought ended quickly. My mother-in-law hated me because I had no parents. I'm an orphan, the lowest class. My mother-in-law would badmouth me, saying that I am just an orphan and that I was a mistake. She would often shout at me, saying that I am cursed to my whole family, which is why both my parents are dead. No matter what I do, it seems I am always in the wrong. Eventually, my mother-in-law convinced my husband to, in her words, take initiative and marry another girl. She thought that maybe this would make me leave. Knowing the life I would return to, I stayed quiet and out of the way. This was the loneliest time yet. I had symptoms of depression. I would wake up early to cook for the family and then leave to the garden before anyone could get to it just to avoid conflict. Maybe I just got lucky. As time went by, my husband became uninterested and unsatisfied with the girls, so he turned to love me again. It only took a few months before my husband started to visit other villages to flirt with widows and divorcees. That was when he stopped caring for me. I was left to tend to the garden by myself. One day, I had this great idea that I would get some fresh air and visit my uncle and aunt's garden so that I could see my little sister. To my surprise, when I got there, I saw my uncle in the garden instead of my sister for once. I felt tears rolling down as I ran to him and cried that my life has been stressful and I no longer wanted to be with someone who doesn't love me. Uncle was his usual. He told me to be patient and to love my husband no matter what, because no one will love me. I had forgotten what kind of a person he was. I then remembered the person that I came to see, Hua. I asked my uncle where she was and told him that I missed her very much. All of a sudden, my aunt's voice came blaring around the corner. She snarled, saying that my sister was ungrateful, so she sold her to the Chinese. I broke down to this sudden news and asked where they sold my sister. My aunt rolled her eyes, saying that I did not need to know where or what happened to her because I don't live with her anymore. She said that I still owe her all the rice and food wasted to raise us, so my sister deserved it. I sulked home. At this point, I did not know what to think or how to feel anymore. I remember I chose to take an overgrown trail home that day. I don't know what forced me to go that way, but at the moment, I was blank and did not care. I cried hard and called out my deceased parents. I begged them to take me with them. I no longer wanted to live. I remembered seeing a tree nearby and making the decision to end my life. I replayed my life in my head. I relived all the pain in those few seconds. The ropes from a basket should do it. I climbed the tree to its first branch. I tied the string, eyes blurred from tears, making sure it was tight. It needed to be tight to work. I wrapped the rope around my neck. I took my last breath and prepared to jump. All of a sudden, I heard a voice. Stop! I heard feet shuffling my way. Stop! They screamed again. I looked down and see this old man. The man explained that he was hunting when one of his spirit guides called him to prevent something. That's when I realized he was a shaman. His spirit guides pushed him to the hills where it seemed two fawns guided his vision toward me. That's when he told me he saw four or five small children by my feet, grabbing hold of my pants. They were laughing and smiling. It seemed they were assisting in the act. When he yelled, "Stop!" the children by my feet took off to the nearby shrubs and vanished. I took a step back, terrified at what I heard. That's when I slipped from the lower branch and my breath stopped. I felt an awful pain in my neck. I was now hanging from the branch. I shut my eyes, trying to squeeze in air. Suddenly, I was able to gulp a small breath of air as something touched my feet. It was the old man. He was now using himself as a stepping stool so that I would be able to breathe. Luckily, his wife was nearby and heard his voice screaming. I blacked out. The next thing you know, I am looking up to two faces, the old man and his wife. The old man instructed his wife to stay beside me while he ran back to the village to get help. Upon regaining consciousness, I cried to the old man's wife about my life and situation. The old man listened and realized that he was related to my husband. He took me back to my husband's home and demanded him to come out. The old couple scolded my husband and his mother. He said, "If you don't love her anymore, I will take her away and make her marry my sons instead. What kind of husband flirts and beats his wife? You should keep an eye on her." The old man then turned to my mother-in-law and said, "You, as the mother, should not scold her so much. She is already in a life crisis and you should acknowledge her as your daughter-in-law." The old man then explained that the family will need to do a shaman session to cleanse the negative energy that has been hanging around me. I believe that the two fawns that the old man saw must have been my parents asking him for help. At least, that's what I'd like to believe. Many years have gone by and I gave birth to a baby boy. For some reason, after giving birth, I fell sick and was at my worst. I would feel tingles down my arm and my heart would ache. I would feel extremely exhausted. People told me that during that time, I often spoke nonsense. My husband eventually got worried, so he consulted the elder who saved my life, since he was a shaman. He told my husband not to worry. The reason why I am sick is because I had spirit guides visiting and hanging around, which meant I was chosen to become a shaman. The elder added that in order for me to get better, my husband needed to help me set up my altar and find a shaman master to teach me. I accepted my fate as a shaman. Upon practicing, I found that I am able to call back spirits, tie charms, and bless amulets to protect people. My husband hated me because he thought I was a nuisance and my altar was in the way. He also seemed annoyed that an orphan like me would be chosen to become a shaman. This part of the story will now be told through the perspective of Grandma Joa's grandson, the person who sent this story. I was born in 1992. My dad is Grandma's firstborn, and I am the third oldest of my family. We lived in Minnesota in a Section 8 community housing. In case you're someone who is not from the United States or is unfamiliar with the term Section 8 housing, basically it's a program that helps families pay a portion of their housing costs. Most of the time, you can choose where you want to live and the type of housing as long as the home falls under Section 8 qualifications. We were a big family, so we had rented housing next to one another. Life was simple. I always played with the neighborhood kids throughout the day. We took turns hanging out at both houses, but avoided my grandparents' home since my grandma's altar basically filled the living space. Ever since my grandparents moved to the United States, Grandma had become more audacious. The new laws and norms of the United States helped her to become the lioness that she always was. I have an older sister that often had a boy over. Those two would hang out by the back area of the house. We had a clothesline that all the neighbors shared to dry clothes outside. My older sister told me that one time she and her boyfriend were getting a little mushy when she sensed someone looking at them from inside the house. This was where the grandparents stayed. It was weird because they knew no adult was home at that time. Her boyfriend looked at the back window of the house and he swore he saw a black mass that shifted from the window and vanished behind the altar. He was so frightened and we never saw him at our place again. That was probably the first sighting my sister witnessed. Another time, I was making my way home from the school bus that dropped us off. I was probably around 13. My siblings and I made our way back home. I saw our grandparents' front door was left ajar or slightly opened. My younger siblings went home without noticing. I went to peek to see why my grandparents left the door open. The house was dark. When I peered inside, everything seemed to be in place in the living room. What stood out was a blanket on the sofa next to the altar. My vision was fixed on the blanket in the dark room. I saw what appeared to be part of hands holding the blanket with someone hiding underneath. You could make out that this person was sitting. Slowly, it peeped at me. I saw its pale features. Then it fully exposed its face and stuck its long, dark red tongue out at me. I shut the door and dashed home. I cried to my mom and told her what I saw. She thought I was lying, but had concerns in case one of my grandparents were sick. We both went next door. To my surprise, the door was locked. Mom remembered that my dad took both my grandparents to the doctors. They should not have been home because they left before we came home from school. I swore up and down to my mom that I saw something. Mom said it was probably nothing and to wait until dad gets home to figure things out. When dad got home with my grandparents, they wouldn't allow me to go talk to them about what I saw. Mom just told me to stay home while they talk at my grandparents' place. At one point, Grandma fell sick. In the process, Grandpa became distant with Grandma and was no longer interested in her. The only people taking care of Grandma were my parents and us grandkids. It's been a few years and we were all growing up. Because of this, the girls moved next door to live with my grandparents. My sister and I both shared a room next to the master bedroom, which belonged to my grandparents. One night, we heard Grandma talking. She was wide awake. You could hear her talking nonsense and her calling out to her parents. She was laughing hysterically and all. I always had a feeling that she was talking to her parents because my dad has mentioned their names to us kids before. That night, Grandma told Grandpa to greet the guests and explained that they were coming to pick her up to go back home. Every time she had one of these episodes, Grandpa would come knocking at our bedroom door to tell us to get our parents to check on her. This usually escalates and will often cause all of us to stay up all night asking her questions or keeping her company until she fell back to sleep. The late fall was approaching and Grandma was now hospitalized. Her kidney is failing and she showed signs of passing. Not long after, she was put on life support. All of our relatives started showing up to see her for the last time. The hospital room was always crowded. On one of those days, I felt a little claustrophobic, so I took my younger siblings to the cafeteria to keep them out of trouble. As we walked by the nursing station, I felt a cold rush of air on my arm. What stood out was that I had a sweater on and wondered how that air could possibly go through my sweater. I stopped to look around to see if the hospital opened any windows exposing the cold autumn air. But no, there wasn't any opened. There's just something about hospitals that is always cold. We made it to the cafeteria and got some snacks on the vending machine. We just started to settle down when my older sister came running down, calling us to hurry back. They were going to take Grandma off life support and will be the last time we are going to see her. By the time we rushed back to the room, Grandma was already gone. I looked at my mom and thought to myself, how could you guys be so cruel and not wait for us? Tears instantly fell from my eyes and I could not hold back any of my emotions. Grandpa cried, hugging Grandma. There was a sudden change in his tone when all of a sudden Grandma's grip was stuck onto his hand. She had stiffened and would not let go of Grandpa's hand. All the relatives saw this and said she must really cherish what she was holding on to. Grandpa, on the other hand, did not think the same. We left the adults to talk to the nurse. My mom told us to go wait in the car. I couldn't cope with this loss and it got the best of me. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat or study for school. Being that both my sister and I lived with my grandma, it was especially difficult for us because we always have lived with her. Everything reminded us of her. Grandpa was finally showing signs of sympathy and emotion towards her after she died. My thoughts were, how do you say you loved her when you didn't even tell her when she was alive? Still, I comforted him when I could while I was still dealing with my own grief. We were all grieving differently. It was June of 2013 when we lost my grandma due to kidney failure. She was 68 years old and still had a strong will to live. Grandma really loved us grandkids and would always give us snacks every time we visited. Grandma is what you would call a lioness. She feared no one and nothing at all. It was like she was grasping onto life every single day. We had relatives come by every weekend to Jeanmont until the funeral. Remember, Zhongmao events are when relatives come over after someone has passed to help plan funeral arrangements and visit the family members of the deceased. This usually happens every single weekend after a passing and goes until the funeral. Our house was small, so we had to set up a big canopy in the backyard to fit all the guests. At all Zhongmao events, the family relatives help each other to fold Jaws paper boats to send off to the deceased. Jaws paper is like ghost money. I remember while folding boats, we told stories and comforted everyone. We expressed how much we missed Grandma and how she often would chase away all of our boyfriends that came and visited. There was this one day of the Zhongmao when we heard a lot of commotion coming from the house where all the men gathered. They were discussing how they were going to get rid of Grandma's altar. An elder said to move it without saying out loud that Grandma is gone. Dad took initiative and asked one or two other men to get rid of Grandma's altar. We saw the struggle of the guys moving that heavy altar outside and into the truck. My cousins and I were confused and did not know that it was Grandma Zhou's shaman altar. We continued to talk outside, and just as I glimpsed up to the upper window, I swear on my soul I saw Grandma walking down from her bedroom to the area where all the elders were sitting. I asked my first cousin to confirm what I'd just witnessed. She looked at the window and said it could have been someone else since the bathroom was upstairs. I swear to God it was Grandma in her hospital gown. A little scared, we both went to a more crowded area. My cousin's husband happened to be one of the guys to help my dad move the altar to be discarded. Dad told him not to turn around once he tosses it. It's to prevent any spirit or negative energies from following us back home. I learned from my cousin that they had illegally dumped the altar by some nearby forest area in the city. He claimed when they left to go back to the house, they heard someone calling for them to wait. The really sad part to all of this is that Grandma did not have her family there. She never reconnected with her sister Huo, and we all still wonder to this day if she is living and well or if she had already passed. Whatever the case, I hope they get reconnected in the afterlife. Thank you for listening to Mix in the Dark. I am your host, Mai Ying. Mix in the Dark is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast series. If you have a story that you would like to share, please send it to mixinthedark@gmail.com. If there's a story that you really enjoyed, feel free to hit up my tip jar on Venmo. Just search Mix in the Dark on the business tab.